Welcome back. It's Jacqueline.
And Alana.
And here's another episode of Black and Yellow.
Today's episode is a doozy.
Well, it's 2019, everyone, and I feel like so much has happened with the government shutdown and
right.
the strikes. And
because let's catch our listeners up. You've been gone.
Yeah, so just so y'all know, we had recorded a bunch before we left so we could make sure you guys got our weekly episodes.
You got your fills.
You got your fills, Black and Yellow. And I was in Boston with my boyfriend, and then I went to New York. I went to school out in New York, and I hadn't been back in 7 years. So it felt so good. I saw a couple of Broadway shows. It was just so nice to be back.
Good. In New
York. I fucking love New York City.
Yes, I totally
You just
agree
don't
with
sleep
you.
When you're there. You go and you go to bed at like 5 in the morning, and then it starts all over again.
Yeah. But hey, when you step outside of your door, like, culture, something to do and something to see, something
non-stop.
To eat, it's all right there.
It's all there. It's so nice. It's so nice to feel the difference between LA and New York, and mm-hmm. just how everything here is so spread apart.
Yeah.
And there you can walk the entire city,
mm-hmm.
you know, in
totally.
A span of 2 hours.
For sure.
And then I went to Iceland with my family.
Dope.
So I was in a frozen land. with extremely tall, blonde, blue-eyed, beautiful people that are probably all related somehow.
And ice blue lagoons
I saw on your
IG.
I went to the Blue Lagoon, and it was just as even more beautiful than the pictures
mm-hmm.
show. I snowmobiled, I glacier hiked, I ate a lot of fresh snow. I horse backed rided. That's not the right word. Way format.
Horseback rode.
Horseback rode in a freaking blizzard. I kept thinking of Game of Thrones and what it would be like to be.
Sounds very much like that.
A lot of Game of Thrones was filmed in Iceland.
Doesn't surprise me.
What else? Just beautiful. A lot of sightseeing. A lot of waterfalls. Just extremely beautiful. Just so gorgeous. It's so beautiful. It's breathtaking.
Do you want to rub it in some more for those of us that were here having to endure this government shutdown? If you live in Los Angeles,
man.
California,
the
LAUSD strike.
Oh, what a mess.
A huge
It's really
mess.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, it's a really interesting time to live in the United States.
It is, isn't
like,
it?
I feel like everyone that I've spoken to in terms of ringing in the new year, I feel like no one did anything like fun and out there and like party centric.
You think
like,
so?
Everyone that I talked to was like, oh yeah, my NYE was real living room-ish. You know, I turned up the heat in my house and I got in bed and like woke up and it was 2019. The Joe government is still shut down. That raging dumpster fire in office, still not giving a fuck.
Oh gosh.
Like,
yeah. I feel you. It's a lot of polarizing energies, a lot of outspoken people and events happening. Just with politics and with everything that's happening, it is very, very interesting.
Yeah. It's a really unsure time. We might be in the midst of staring down the barrel of a recession, some think.
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? I just know that take care of yourself because you can't.
Yeah.
You can't. They're not going to take care of us, so.
Yeah, I think take care of yourself and I think move through the world with love. I think I'm feeling like that because of what happened to Jussie Smollett. So, full disclosure, we are recording this on a Tuesday morning.
Yes.
This will be released on Thursday afternoon. Mm-hmm. But this morning in downtown Chicago, of all places, Empire star Jussie Smollett was viciously attacked by two men. He was viciously attacked by two men wearing MAGA hats as he was walking to some location. It was definitely a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
They were hurling racial insults his way. They were hurling homophobic slurs his way.
Jesus.
Beat him up. They slipped a rope-like noose around his neck and poured some sort of flammable chemical on him. And more reports are still coming out. I mean, he was able to get up and walk himself to a hospital or some sort of medical center. He's stable and in quote, in, and in quote unquote good condition, says the hospital. Here's my thing. How are you in good condition after a hate crime?
Yeah.
My feathers are starting to get ruffled because as I'm reading more and more reports as they're coming out, media outlets are calling it a possible hate crime. Maybe it's a hate crime, an alleged hate crime.
Yeah, that was my next word that was going to come out of my mouth.
Let's be very, very clear with you. I know very few arguments and fights that white people get into where a noose is slipped around one of the other's necks.
Mm-hmm.
I know very few arguments and assault and battery cases where racial and homophobic slurs are hurled at someone and it's not a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
This shit is a hate crime. Mm-hmm. It's not a possible hate crime. It's not alleged. It's not maybe. It's a fucking hate crime.
Right, right.
And I think...
And just to clear it up, can you explain a little bit about who he is, just in case we have some listeners who don't watch
yes.
the show?
So he is on Empire. I think that show is still on the air.
Yeah, oh yeah. That show's
so he's on Empire, but
on Fox.
He is from essentially a black Hollywood family. He's been a singer, dancer, musician, actor for years. And he's openly gay, obviously black, in Hollywood. He's had a 20-year career. Like, his career has been a really long-standing career.
Uh-huh.
And I think because I have a foot in, like, white Hollywood world and black Hollywood world, I think there was a part of me that thought, this could never happen to a celebrity. Like, this could never happen to a notable person. Like, this sort of crime could... it's not possible. And...
apparently not.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally wrong.
Right.
But also, I think... when things like this happen, it's hard to not take it somewhat personally because he is a person of color.
I see, yeah.
From the standpoint of this didn't happen in like some tiny town in
it's a metropolis down
America.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this happens in a very ethnically diverse city.
Mm-hmm.
And
a noose on top of all things. I don't
exactly.
know. I mean, regardless of what they would have done if they didn't use a noose, if they just used a gun, if they just beat him up, whatever. I mean, there's no excuse. But man, I mean.
I feel like my heart goes out to the Smollett family. My heart also goes out to the LGBT community. I'm sure that they are feeling just as wronged, just as much pain, just as much sorrow as the African-American community is. I would like to believe that these things just
don't happen anymore.
Yeah.
I know.
I think that's where I'm coming from with it, where it's really painful and it's hard to not take it personally as a person of color because in theory, this sort of racial hate crime can happen to any of us.
Totally. And then if you want to strip away the race and the color and not go there, because I'm sure people can also get tired of going there, but just as a humanity as a whole, it's really saddening that in this day and age, there is still these horrible crimes being happened and mm-hmm. it's so tragic.
Yeah, and I think suffice it to say, it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. He might be okay physically. I worry about him mentally, spiritually, and emotionally.
Yeah.
The idea that you are under attack for your sexual orientation and the color of your skin, it's cemented by the use of a noose.
How do you ever walk out again on your own feeling safe in the world when that's what you have a complete right to feel?
Definitely.
Especially in today's world. It's not like we're in some sort of Holocaust-y type time, you know, it's a very different time. And for that to still be something that you have to be worried about, just walking.
Yeah.
Just walking. You're just literally
walking down the street.
You're not.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything else.
Totally.
You know, it's like he was asking for it,
mm-mm.
you know. So very tragic indeed. And I just I hope he's recovering and that his family is with him.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think also. Just a reminder to move through the world with love. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I always think about that. Like, whenever you hear shootings, and especially living in Los Angeles, it's a very crowded, all kinds of people and places. And I remember there was this one shooting in San Bernardino, and I live closer to the east side.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like, oh, that I could have been there.
Yeah.
Because it was just, I think it was a holiday party and it was a husband and a wife. Oh,
yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And
yeah,
they just opened
the
fire.
Office party.
Yeah. And it just opened fire at a holiday party and killed a bunch of people. And I just remember thinking, what if it's my holiday party that I'm at? Mm-hmm. And I just always think, why not me? Or why, you know, or people who, like, you know, those old like shootings in like a theater. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember one time I was in Brazil and there was like a story about a gunman went in a theater and just shot people watching a movie. And mm-hmm. I remember I have these thoughts sometimes when I'm in the theater and I'm watching a movie and I'm like, a guy could just come in here and shoot us up.
Oh yeah. Like, I always, whenever I go to a movie at this point, I always mind my exits and I always try and situate myself in such a place where I could get out of my row and get to that exit as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Or I'll run the scenario through my head. Yeah. As if someone did come in, what would I do? Would I, you know, cover my loved ones first, and then, or would I, you know? So I think it's that. I think it's move through the world with love, like you said. I think karma. I think all of that stuff. I think time and place and when and how, and just hopefully know that that's not somewhere in our path. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, we always like to do a call to action, and, like, unfortunately, this is all just so new. I would say if you know anything, reach out to the Chicago PD.
Yeah.
But Jesse deserves justice. Anyone that is the target of a hate crime of any kind deserves justice, and we stand with you guys.
Mm-hmm. That being said, there is something else that's real tragic. It's been going on for over 2 decades that we have actually touched upon in earlier episodes. Like, a year and a half ago, about a certain kind of someone.
Yeah.
Whose name is
Robert Kelly.
Who is also known as
R. Kelly, the Pied Piper of hip hop.
Yes.
So as we know, the six
the
part.
King of R&B.
Exactly. The 6-part R. Kelly miniseries.
On Lifetime.
Surviving R. Kelly on Lifetime was out. It came out
a bit ago. Just like the first week or two of January.
Yeah. And we spoke about R. Kelly during our 2-part sexual harassment in Hollywood episodes. So there was a lot that came out on that 6-part series that, to be honest, a lot of it I already knew. We already knew, when I say we, I mean the Black community as a collective whole. A lot of us already knew that it was an open secret that he molests and rapes teenage girls. It came out that he was raped by a family member. We in the Black community knew that it was by his older sister. Right. A lot of these allegations were nothing new and sensational to us, but it was sensational to hear from the women themselves. And
that's for sure was so captivating.
Totally. And Jack and I didn't want to do another episode on R. Kelly because
we had already done it.
And I think the more important thing that needs to be talked about that I don't think is getting enough talk is how we over police and under protect our young Black girls.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the series, in episode 1, there was a woman named Mickey Kendall. If that name rings a bell, it's because she started the hashtag Fast-Tailed Girls, I think it was in 2016, to draw attention to the premature sexualization of African-American girls. But in the first episode, Mickey makes a very, to me, sensational statement that when I was watching, I had to actually pause and walk away and digest what I had just heard and then subsequently break down and cry because it was just so true and so right. And Mickey was talking about the fact that R. Kelly would hang around her high school, would hang around all the young girls, but no one really seemed to do anything. And she said, why? Nobody cared because we were Black girls. And there's so much truth in that statement, so much truth and so much pain in that statement. And so in this episode, Jack and I wanted to do a deep dive into, do Black girls' lives matter? Or is it true that no one cares about Black girls?
Well, apparently, based on how he has been getting away with this for over 2 decades with proof.
Mm-hmm. Apparently no one cares.
And concrete evidence.
Yeah.
And he has denied all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And has suffered zero consequence for it.
And has victim blamed and victim shamed, all of those things. Uh-huh.
If this were any other race or anyone, I know things would be very different.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And I think that is a reflection of the based on the results and based on the actions that haven't been taken, that no one is listening
right
to Black girls.
Right. Mm-hmm.
No one.
Right.
Apparently.
Did you know anything about these allegations?
I did not know enough.
Like, what was your feeling on surviving R. Kelly?
Oh, I'm disgusted.
Okay.
Like, my insides were disgusted, and it finally came, I guess, more full circle for me because I didn't know that he had been raped.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if we had mentioned that he was raped. Like, in our episode, I think we just talked about what he had been getting away with.
Got it.
But
I think
actually,
you're right.
I didn't really know, like, the root of his problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think on the episode, I finally came to realization that, oh, he had become the predator.
Yeah.
After becoming the victim for mm-hmm. so long. And classic, right?
Right.
If you look at any serial killer or anyone who most likely is doing what R. Kelly is, was sexually molested and assaulted when they were really young.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was that came full circle for me. And then I really understood it. I understood the situation as a whole, but then realizing how this has been going on since like 1994,
mm-hmm.
and then I did the math, and I couldn't believe it. I sat there aghast. Is
right.
that a word? Aghast. For
sure. Yes, we'll go for it.
For quite some time, and it made me incredibly sad.
Yeah. No, definitely. I watching the entire series, I kept hearing a quote by Malcolm X in my mind. And that quote is, "The most underprotected person in America is the Black woman." Like, I couldn't help but continuously hear that quote ringing in my mind, mainly because I have a hard time believing if R. Kelly was preying on young white girls, this would have gone on for 2 decades.
Yeah.
In our nation, in the United States, we are both consciously and unconsciously taught to uphold the sanctity, safety, and sanity of white women.
Mm-hmm.
Even mm-hmm. if it is at the cost of our young Black girls. Like, mm-hmm. white women's protection is the most important. So it doesn't surprise me that these Black girls were screaming out and no one was listening. And you mm-hmm. could kind of hear it in these girls' voices, too. Mm-hmm. You can hear that resolve of no one cares. We shared our story. No one really did anything.
His wife.
Yeah. I mean,
it
was also sad. It was one of those things where these women are testifying or are being interviewed for this particular series. And you could just even hear in their voice, it almost felt like they were answering all of these questions super truthfully. But still, I couldn't help but shake the feeling of these girls think this isn't going to go anywhere. Like, these girls are sharing an incredibly painful story.
Yeah.
Knowing that people haven't listened in the past,
right?
Why are they going to listen now?
I mean, yeah,
2 decades.
Yeah, these ladies are in their late 40s, mm-hmm. early 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
He's in his 50s.
Yeah.
He was preying on them when they were 14. You know, it's so disheartening and scary. And then I think, well, I don't know. I think about how much power the Black community has in the sense of music and R&B and hip-hop.
Okay.
And the esteem, and then they've sort of paved the way in that sense. Mm-hmm. And it's global, it's international. I mean, you go anywhere in the world, people are listening to American music.
Mm-hmm.
You go anywhere in the
right.
world. You go to China, you go to Japan, people are like listening to Nicki Minaj and Cardi B
yeah.
and Jay-Z and Kanye. And so, you know, and then I think, like, okay, the music industry people had to know. It's just like Harvey Weinstein and the Hollywood people had to know.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because R. Kelly was making them money.
Yeah.
That's why. R. Kelly was making them.
That's ironic. I just said that to someone earlier.
And listen, let it be known, when it comes to R. Kelly, I blame the black community for a lot of this nonsense. This is one of the few episodes, ladies and gentlemen, where Jack and I can't blame white people who line and sinker. Like, this is not white people's problem. Like, white people, you're off the hook. This is not your issue. Y'all got Harvey.
We should name this episode White People, You're Off the Hook.
Yeah, white people, you're off the hook. Y'all got Harvey. Y'all got Louis C.K. Y'all got Kevin Spacey. I'm sure the white community as a whole is like, we get it. You have R. Kelly. Like, we're fucked too. And you know what? They're completely right. I think for me, I blame a lot of the black community because the black community pressures young black girls, to be silent. We are taught from a very young age to not rat on our black men, even if they are committing acts of violence, that those acts being sexual or otherwise.
You've said this a couple times now. Like, yeah. We're
pressured
rat your brothers
to keep
out.
Quiet.
And that is because just to continuously protect the black community because you guys are constantly...
Because you don't... The idea is don't rat on your black brothers because you don't want to submit them to the white supremacy of our legal system.
Even if they're raping you.
Even if it is at our expense.
Jesus.
We are taught to do that.
Whether
conscious... Again, conscious and subconscious.
Right.
There were some of these women that went on record and said, I didn't... Oh, no, it wasn't women from the R. Kelly case. It was a couple women from the Bill Cosby case that said, I was pressured to keep quiet because I didn't want to let Black America down. And that is a reality and a statement that I can understand 100%.
Wow.
Also, in the United States... The collective, are hypersensitive to the oppression that the black man feels. But
yes.
We are not as equally hypersensitive to the oppression that black women feel. And by and large, we face way more levels of objectification, way more levels of oppression than black men do. So I don't understand why we aren't getting that same do ourselves.
I see what you mean.
Also, as a black girl... We know, growing up black, I will tell you that outside of the confines of my parents' house, I knew that I would never be as precious or as important as, like, the other white girls in my class. Like, that's a reality that that black girls
just know,
swallow and know from a very young age.
Because of society. And you pick things up real fast.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Totally. And I think as human beings... We see someone and we quickly assign worth to them.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, we're fast learners when we're young. And then when something happens and it's either a white person or a person that's just not black or not you.
Right.
You make all kinds of assumptions and decisions.
Yeah.
And you stick to those decisions, whether you know it or not, consciously or unconsciously, like you've been saying, that runs your entire life.
Yeah.
That may not actually even be really true.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels true, and you have evidence to back up that truth, so why wouldn't you believe it, right?
Yeah, totally, 100%.
Yeah.
And I mean, when we're young, African-American girls are just, like, fighting for their basic worth. Like, just view us as worthy and having some value. And then as we get older, we have to fight for our respect. We have to fight for respect in the way that... We've got to fight for our definition of respect, and we've got to fight for the respect that we feel that we're deserved.
Yeah, because I don't know what it's like being black. I'll never know.
But you know what it's like to be a minority. So
I definitely
do.
You live your life knowing that there's always going to be something or someone or anything that will happen specifically because you are a minority.
Mm-hmm.
And you've sort of just learned to... Or not... sort of learned, but I think when we're young, it catches us kind of off guard.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, why did you say that to me, but not to her?
It's a sock in the gut.
Or why do I feel like this, and I'm sure she doesn't feel like that, and then you start to just really understand, oh, this is how the world works.
Yeah, for sure. Bell Hooks, in her book, Ain't I a Woman, Black Women and Feminism, she says very specifically, no other group in America has so had their identity socialized out of existence as the black women have. And I, like, 100% agree. Because I do think that when it comes to the way that we talk about racism in the African-American community, there's a strong focus on racism through the filter of the eyes of the black man. But there's not enough of a focus through the filter of the Black woman and what we are expected to
uphold or be or do or say or act.
Right.
That is so true that and that's not talked about enough.
Yeah, for sure. And like,
you don't even realize it. I don't even realize until you say it, to be perfectly honest, because mm-hmm. A, first, obviously I'm not Black, but second, it is assumed that if someone is talking about something that's related, like Black Lives Matter, it's like, oh yeah, it does. But then, like,
which Black people matter?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
It becomes then very, if you want to get into it, it becomes, like you said, very filtered for the Black man. And I didn't even realize that. Like,
well,
I'm having a moment right now, like thinking about all the stories I've read and all like my own assumptions and stereotypes and feelings about this issue. And mm-hmm. it's so true.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of even something as like, when you think of slavery, for instance,
you think
like,
of a man.
You think of a slave man.
Like, 100%. When I think of slavery, I think of a Black man that's possibly, or maybe, I mean, the movies obviously have an influence. But when I think of that, I think of a man that's either getting whipped or a man that's who's working. And I don't think of a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the initial image that pops to mind is not that of a woman who was raped by her master.
Yeah, her white master, and then has a bare child.
Yeah.
It's the
guy that's overworked and whipped. It's the guy who's having his masculinity stripped from him. You know what
it's
I mean?
So crazy. Yeah, so even within that is still geared towards the masculine.
For sure.
And that's not to say that didn't happen.
Right.
But
it totally did.
Right, but now that is clearly trickling down and causing problems in modern day world mm-hmm. as a reflection of all these decades of R. Kelly getting away with what he did.
Right.
Ah.
And knowing that he could prey on the Black community because he knows that Black girls are not as valued as white girls. And for anyone listening that's like, oh, but he was raped by his older sister when they were teenagers. There's a reason for this.
Poor guy.
Yeah, great. Awesome. He was raped by his older teenage sister. He has been stealing the lives of women for 20 years. Great. We have a reason for why he's doing this.
I don't care. Honestly, I don't care how fucking talented you are.
I don't care
how much money you make. There's no excuse for you to ever do any. Like, you don't deserve any of that.
Right. But you also have to remember that the Black community, the music that R. Kelly has made
has
for a lot of the Black
lives.
Community has been the soundtrack for our lives.
Yeah, that's
how
I
many
remember.
How many people's kids sang I Believe I Could Fly at a talent show? Every single Black wedding and Black party that I have ever been to with a DJ or an iPod has played Step in the Name of Love and the remix to Ignition.
Yeah.
And Tarana Burke said in the series, people don't want to separate themselves mm-hmm. from his music because that means they would have to separate themselves from all of those memories that have been made with his music playing in the background.
Right. Well, I mean, look, I understand this whole idea. Let's strip away some of the stuff that we've been talking about.
Sure.
But there's a lot of amazing, as artists here, there's a lot of amazing art that has come from a lot of darkness.
Definitely.
And pain and guilt. And you look at Michael Jackson and you look at Whitney Houston and you look at Prince and you look at, I don't know, just the magic in some people. We could talk about Anthony Bourdain. We could talk about these people that just have something that is very magical and very alluring and very powerful and almost just so brilliant
mm-hmm.
that it comes from a place of darkness, like I said. And I think, obviously, R. Kelly possesses that, which then, like you said, I think really confuses people and somehow he gets away with it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of this, like, which is not in anywhere, shape or form in alignment.
Yeah. No, you know? Definitely not at all.
So,
and when you think of who's losing in all of this, because ultimately, if he's been doing this for 20 years, the overarching message is none of these girls are valuable enough to bring down this musical icon. Their lives, their well-being, their
innocence,
all of that
traumas
is
all the
not worth bringing down this man.
Yeah, yeah.
Which to me is despicable.
Yeah, and that he still. I mean, after I watched the episodes, I went on his Instagram and I stalked him, and I didn't stalk him. I just went on his Instagram. Jesus Christ. I just went on his Instagram, and he had a video of him in Houston mm-hmm. on November 2018.
Yeah.
And I was looking, not at him, I was looking at the audience members, and there was a ton of black people in there.
Black people are having a very difficult time. Let me take that back. There's the generation of older black people uh-huh. that are having a hard time separating from his
older
music.
meaning, I'll say 40s, 50s, like his 60s. Generation.
Yeah, like people his age, people that 50. Grew up with him are having a hard time separating themselves from his music. People my generation and younger are like, yo, auntie, yo, uncle, yo, older cousin. You do realize that by playing his music in this house and around all these people, you're basically saying to everyone, young black girls don't matter. Fuck them and their development and fuck them and their safety. He was acquitted of all charges.
Yeah, all of it.
So that must mean he's not guilty, right? Wrong. I'm not going to stop playing his music. Because, by the way, didn't you know Beyonce is part of the Illuminati? Yes. Yes. Within the black community, there are households that are having conversations like
yeah,
that.
Like, I wonder.
And that
you
might
know?
Sound funny to you, but
well,
like.
Not at all, but I mean, maybe to some of our listeners. I just, yeah, I'm curious. I want to find out because I can imagine, let's say, a household of, you know, four or five or a family gathering, you're going out to dinner, and I'm sure you guys are talking about it.
Totally.
So we, us Asians don't have, I mean, we looked, you and I remember, we had this conversation before.
Right.
We looked for an Asian equivalent, and the only thing I found was when I typed in the keyword predator, and Asian came out, like, I think it was some sort of animal in China.
Birds of prey.
Yeah. And I was angry at Google for not giving me an Asian equivalent, but I'm grateful that we don't have one. And if we do, then, you know, hopefully
yeah.
someone finds him.
Well,
but
I mean, like, but let's stop there, because I find that sort of interesting. Like, there's no... That must say something about...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the same continuation of we could go with a lot of lines of, stay quiet, domicile, mm-hmm. Men don't, shouldn't, can't,
right.
Be powerful, whatever.
Be sexual. Yeah.
And if there is, which I'm sure, which then breaks my heart because I'm sure, because we live in this planet Earth, I'm sure there are many Asian women that have been molested and raped by Asian men, mm-hmm. and they don't say anything because we don't do that in our culture too, but
right.
we don't do it not because we want to protect our Asian people, we don't do it because we just know we can't.
Got it. Interesting.
And that we shouldn't, and it's not even about protecting us or having someone hear us out, but it's just, you know, hush hush.
It's just not something that you do.
You don't.
Is
yeah,
it
ever.
Viewed as like airing dirty laundry, maybe, in your culture? Or is it just like...
What does that mean?
Like, airing dirty laundry, like, letting people on the outside know what's going on behind the closed doors of your intimate family
definitely
unit.
Definitely there's part of that, especially okay. if, let's say, you are in China and you definitely have a status or mm-hmm. a last name, or your dad has a multi-billion-dollar company. You know, it's you keep it in the hush hush for
Got
sure.
It.
I mean, we've talked about this before. I'm on our previous episodes, but we don't have. I mean, I'm grateful we don't have an equivalent, at least in America. But yeah, you guys are going through some stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Let's actually talk about the need to protect and not talk about black men. So on the American Urban Radio Network, they had a great article all about do black girls' lives matter?
Mm-hmm.
And in it, there was a great little snippet about the desire to protect black men. So here it goes. They say the desire to protect black men from white supremacy due to a history of racism has conditioned black women to keep their brother to be their brother's keeper at all times. As a result, we have created a glass shell around black masculinity, making it almost untouchable at the expense of our daughters. We have permitted this fragility and made it dangerous. We act as human shields for black men, leaving our daughters vulnerable. I could not agree enough.
Mm.
Because again, from a very young age, we're conditioned, don't call the cops. Don't bring them over here. If you call the cops, you could end up going to jail and not the person that you're calling the cops on. So why would you do that? You don't want to be a traitor, do you? Like, these are messages that we are sent since childhood. But what happens when you don't talk about something? You don't normalize it. There's no attention that's being brought to it.
Yeah.
And so our silence, our meaning the silence of young Black girls, our silence is a way of saying we don't need the protection, even though we really do. And I do think that moving forward, I think the Black community has got to step up and stop with all of this. Black girls, be quiet, even if Black guys are doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Because the message you're sending is that, be quiet, you're not valuable. They're more valuable than you, so just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
And that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Because then you create another R. Kelly. And also, yeah, too, it's not... See, that's the thing that I'm getting at, is that it's not about being Black anymore.
Yeah.
It's about you being a woman or a girl. And you're being violated.
Right.
And those, our fundamental, you know, laws that you cannot break.
Yeah,
and if
absolutely.
You do, you need to go to jail or you need to be shot. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. A little angry there.
I'll take the latter.
All right.
But I mean, young Black girls, I've said on the show before, we are viewed as being older from a very young age.
Yeah.
We're viewed as needing less protection. Mm-hmm. We're viewed as needing less nurturing than white girls, which to me...
Or just if any other...
I mean, because I was going to say Asian girls get... I'm sure young Asian girls get that same treatment of like being thought of as not needing as much protection as young white girls, or am I wrong?
No. I think, well, there is this like fragility with Asian girls.
Okay.
There's this like daintiness. There's this like, I like to be treated like a princess, you know, like the whole thing that comes with like being soft spoken and feeling like being very feminine. I mean, there's the extremes the colors of the spectrum, but I think if anything, I think Black women out of all types of women are the most that are perceived as they're fine.
Yeah.
You know, they're tough.
They're strong.
They've been through a lot.
Right.
You know, whatever all of that is. Don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of women who, a lot of people who don't maybe think that Asian women need to be taken care of. But I definitely think that it's way more extreme in your guys' case.
For sure.
Because we have this sort of, Asians get a lot of this baby doll type look. You know what I mean? We already look very young all
the
time.
So the natural inclination is to protect.
Protect and coddle and take care of.
Got it.
And we have benefited for that for sure, I can say, as a result. But based on society. And it's very different. It's crazy.
For sure. I mean, here's a couple of stats just to like mull over.
Stat me, girl.
So, I love a stat.
I know.
You know me.
I know. I love a stat too.
So
a little sexual here.
colorofchange.org, they say studies have shown that racist and sexist assumptions about Black girls and women make us more likely to experience sexual, psychological, and physical violence in our lifetimes. To be disbelieved or dismissed when we try to seek out help and support. To be arrested when we call the police to report violence from an intimate partner. And to be assaulted and subjected to sexual violence from police officers. 60% of Black girls are sexually abused before they reach the age of 18. In part because adults view Black girls as less innocent and more adult-like than their white peers.
Mm.
Especially in the age range of 5 to 14. Perceiving Black girls as needing less nurturing, protection, support, and comfort, and as more sexual at an earlier age.
That sucks.
Facts.
That fucking blows.
Facts. And it's not our fault. As I've said on the show before, we get aged up earlier. We also are believed, we're also hypersexualized at a much younger age. And
yeah,
that's just out in white America.
Yeah.
When we take our views, our being the views of Black women within our own homes, a lot of Black families, because there's a lot of church and Christ and religion involved, tend to be on the more conservative side.
Mm-hmm.
So things like sex and intimacy are not spoken about the way that I'm assuming they're spoken about in white households.
Mm.
The idea of like talking about being sexually explorative and normalizing conversations about intimacy. That doesn't happen in Black households.
Yeah.
But yet, when you look at these young girls that are dealing with this arc, that are the victims of R. Kelly, a thing that really poked out to me was not only were these girls young, but it seemed like their morality was also tied to their sexual experience, making them disposable. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, she's young and a fast girl. Look, she can do all those sexual things. Where'd she learn all those things from? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe the older man that brainwashed her and taught her all these sexual things.
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, if I, let's put like you or me, if I was 14, I wanted to be a singer. And here's this good-looking, sweet, charming man who wants to help me. And,
well, I'm glad you hit up on this.
And it's tricky, right? There's a lot of elements we're dealing with here.
Right.
There is your own self-judgment, self-knowledge as a young girl that you need to trust, which is, hey, this doesn't feel so right. Mm-hmm. He's a much older man. And maybe I should bring my mom with me. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should bring my dad with me. Maybe I should bring someone of age to accompany me on this dinner recording sessions. I have quotation air marks in the air, guys.
Yeah.
So on and so forth, right? So there's that element that I think a lot of these girls didn't have because of their naiveness. Mm-hmm. I'm making up all kinds of words, guys. 2019, make up all your words.
Be a wordsmith.
That is sad that sort of was, you know,
a driving force
that didn't happen. I'm sure whoever the parents of these young girls are had to deal with their own issues and guilt as parents of letting their feeling at fault that they let their own daughters fall into the hands of this predator somehow, that they had a few, like, I, as a parent, I feel like I would feel there is a sense of guilt that I'd be like, how did I not see that?
Definitely.
Right? There's that sense of that, and then or not telling your parents what's going on and keeping it a secret, or just doing what you think feels good because you're fucking 14. You're going to want to rebel and do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And if that driving force is for you to become famous, and if you are talented and people have told you that you are going to be a singer, there's so many. I mean, I can't say exactly what I would do because it's never happened to me before, but I know I'd be swept off my feet, you know?
Yeah, I'm actually glad you hit up on that because I think another factor in all of this is good old-fashioned greed. Because let us not forget, he was married to Aaliyah. Now, within Black culture, me growing up, Aaliyah was the girl. Like, everyone loved Aaliyah. Everyone wanted to be like Aaliyah. Everyone wanted to dress like Aaliyah. So I bet there was also an element of thinking as the parents who have their teenage daughters who have an affinity for singing, who are really good at it, that think, oh, well, he, you know, he made Aaliyah a success.
Yeah.
She was a superstar.
And
maybe
he married her. Wow.
Right.
Like, that's the right thing to do. What a gentleman. He married her.
Because there was that set of parents that said that they went to the R. Kelly concert after he had been acquitted. And the reason was, well, he was acquitted. So we went to this concert and we took our 17-year-old daughter with us. I don't get that. I don't understand.
It's like, why would you go? I'm trying to find a good analogy after this. It's like, why would I go? Well, it's not going to work.
I don't know if there's an analogy.
No.
I think
I'm just thinking of, like, after he's been acquitted, it's like, oh, so it wasn't true. Like, they wanted to believe that he was acquitted, and so it wasn't true, and therefore it was safe to bring his daughter. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I see what you're saying.
Like, I'm trying to go, like, trying to figure out.
Right. Because I think that you're trying to figure out why. And
I think a
reason for that, it's inconvenient to look at the things that he has done.
Yeah, and it's like, well, he's R. Kelly. He's great. You know, he's done a lot for our community, and he's talented, and I like him. And let the thing, you know, he's human, and whatever happened, happened. So let's just go listen to his music. You know what I mean? Like you said, it's, we don't want to see the truth. You'd rather, we've all done this. You'd rather pick the easier way out because it's just easier. And if maybe you never gave that other part of your consciousness a second thought, you might be faced with a lot of inconvenient truths that at that moment you don't want to face.
Yeah.
And that is everything in life, from health to money,
everything,
to relationships, to sex, to within your own brain. And so if you haven't been even working on that already on its own, to really figure out those truths in general. Yeah. Why would you, why would, like, growing up, my mom was always like, always, because she grew up in Brazil, which is really freaking dangerous. And so when I was growing up, my mom always said, hey, don't ever be in a room alone with an older man of like 50 when you're at your friend's house.
Yeah.
My mom was like on it. She was like, when you're sleeping over, make sure you're always with your girlfriend. Like, she was on it. And when I'd come home, she'd ask me, she'd be like, did anything happen? Because something happened to my mom when she was young, and she never wanted that to happen to me, you know? And so it's, you know, it's
your mom and Beyonce's dad had a very similar feeling. I think Matthew Knowles was interviewed after this 6-part series came out, and he said he took the girls to possibly work with R. Kelly as a producer, and he said, I didn't let those girls out of my sight.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Those girls went nowhere without my wife or I.
Right. My mom told me about rape real young, like real quick. She would like almost like a little too early, but I'd rather it to be too early than too late.
Or not at all.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, I mean... Yeah, it's so tricky and convoluted, and there's so much that goes into it, and it just really fucking sucks.
Yeah, and I think for me, I'm just left with the question of why don't Black girls matter? Then I have to go, okay, well, let's stand back and look at this based on the evidence that has been provided. I couldn't help but draw parallels between R. Kelly's case and Bill Cosby's case.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bill Cosby had a lot of white women coming forward saying that they had been sexually abused.
For so many years.
It feels like he had an equal mix of Black and white women. Mm-hmm. But when the white women started coming out of the woodwork and saying, I think that's when things ramped up 100%.
Damn.
100%. You cannot tell me otherwise.
Yeah.
This shit has been going on in our community for over 20 years and no one gave a fuck.
Yeah, no one. Yeah.
And literally, if you think about it, it took the Me Too movement and the Time's Up movement. Mute R. Kelly came very quickly after that. A whole culture had to shift and change before someone brought these allegations to mainstream white America.
Yeah.
Because Black America has been knowing about this shift for years.
Yeah.
But no one seemed to really do anything about it.
And I really wonder, you know, what is that all about?
Because in Cosby's case, a lot of the victims were white. And we're told, like, gotta protect these white ladies. Black girls, who cares? Like, they'll be fine. Black women are strong. That's when that trope comes out.
They've been through a lot.
They've overcome a lot.
Yeah.
They'll figure this one out. They don't need any help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which to me is total bullshit. Everyone needs a little bit of help.
Well, I like that, you know, like I said, it does become completely, it's not about being Black anymore.
No.
And I think if people start to really realize that, you guys are all white. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do fucking something about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it becomes about you being women and young women and completely violated. And that is just not okay.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, let's roll it back for a second. It seems like white people don't give a fuck about Black people once we're born. Like, once we are born, y'all give a fuck less. White people care when we're not born because there's a lot of white people that give a shit about not having abortions and, you know, not killing dead babies. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that is a tenet for some white people politically.
Mm.
So they care about us before being born. But the minute that we're born, you don't care. Black women face a bunch of medical maltreatment and maternal mortality. We've already talked about that on this show. So you already don't care about our moms and the health of our moms. Which means, how could you care about us if you don't care about the health of our mothers? And then as we are growing up and being brought into the world, we are over-policed, but
underprotected.
Over-policed, underprotected, not really given as many resources or opportunities as women of other races are. We're sort of left to fend for ourselves.
Yeah. And you have to prove yourself by fighting your way through and getting a PhD and then, you know, doing all the stuff that you should have all equal opportunities.
If you're a lower income Black woman, that means that you've probably inherited some sort of poverty or debt from the generation before. So you're already starting at a deficit.
Yeah.
It's like we cannot be upwardly mobile. And sometimes it feels like the chips are stacked against Black girls. And then we have to contend with predators like R. Kelly. Or contend family with predators. Members. I was going to say, your creepy uncle. How gendered is that? I've never heard someone say your creepy aunt. I've never heard someone say your skeezy right. older cousin. It's always your, don't be left alone with your creepy uncle. Ha ha ha.
Wait, you've actually like heard that growing up?
Not in my personal family.
Oh, okay.
But I've heard that sort of that creepy uncle trope is very much.
Within the Black community.
Within the Black community, yeah.
Because
but
it's
I also
true.
Feel like the creepy uncle
well,
can be any
it, it
race.
Is, yeah. There's so many.
I'm more but the fact up that on it's the like fact that it's the, a man, like the creepy uncle.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
like the creepy aunt. You might yeah. have the aunt that hugs you too tight or gives wet kisses.
Right.
But a creepy uncle, someone that you know within your own family has.
Time and time. Well, I mean, I think it's time and time again that maybe it has. It's been more men, obviously, within families that have mm-hmm. molested and raped their own, you know, nieces and nephews and granddaughters or so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the fact that it's, like, even though I've never heard it in the Asian community. I mean, we don't talk about it really anything. But,
Be quiet.
Yeah. But the fact that you actually heard it as, like, a, you know, a thing is just, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just sort of something that women are expected to deal with.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's what blows my mind.
Well, I mean, there are certain things that you expect as a woman because you know you're a woman and the way the world works, but you shouldn't have to expect to be molested and raped ever.
I totally get that. And 100%.
And that it that because you're 14, it's okay for you to be going through what those girls did or will or, you know, it's no, never.
Totally.
You know?
And my heart goes out to a lot of these girls because growing up Black, I know the feeling of who can I turn to about this?
So what's going to happen now? What do you think should happen?
I know a case has started up. I think it's in Atlanta. Uh-huh. Regarding R. Kelly and some of the allegations. RCA has dropped him, so his record label has dropped him. Jeez. Finally. I think you said off air.
Yeah. So now you're going to drop him.
Now they drop him.
How convenient.
Right, exactly.
Our volume's going through the roof.
We're just really spiking here.
Now you're going to drop him. Okay.
I'll say one thing. I think that all the men that allowed that
oh, yes. Thank you for touching.
This behavior should go to jail, just like R. Kelly should go to jail.
Helped forge the marriage certificate with Aaliyah.
The fact that grown-ass Black men allowed this to happen, I'm sure some of those men have daughters and sisters and cousins and aunties. Mm. And you allowed this to happen, y'all should go to jail. Fucking period. All y'all should be going to jail. All of y'all. It's disgusting that no one stepped up and said anything. And again, like, there you go. Grown Black men that are like, no, these little girls, these fast-tailed Black girls, because that's how Black folks speak about girls that are sexually active in our community, if you didn't know that. How dare they be here? Where are their parents? I'm not going to facilitate any sort of shutting down of this behavior.
Oh, man.
I think all of y'all should go
well,
to jail, too.
Well, it's just like what you said earlier to what I said is money, you know?
Yeah, I'm good sure old-fashioned greed.
Oh, man, I'm sure R. Kelly was paying them some big mm-hmm. bucks to go back to that one girl and say R. Kelly wants to see tonight. Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, think of the length of his career. Like, I'm sure if you got on with R. Kelly early.
Yeah. Well, Harvey.
Employed for 20 years.
I'm sure Harvey Weinstein had secretaries that were doing that stuff for him.
Yeah, the culture of capitulation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, the culture
you know,
of enabling.
The same way. I'm sure other women helped Harvey molest other women.
For sure.
You know, like it's. Oh, it's really, really messed up. And I think these, yeah, I think everyone should pay the price for
sure.
what they did. Or if not, I'm sure they feel guilty as fuck, but. Then do something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you can start by not listening to R. Kelly's music.
Yeah.
Don't listen to R. Kelly's music. Don't stream it.
I don't know
online.
Who the heck is going to be playing his music still, at least on the radio. Or
there was a spike
or...
in streams of R. Kelly's music while Surviving R. Kelly was going on. There was a spike.
I love, too, in the series, how they start to really break down and analyze his lyrics mm-hmm. and his tempo and all the stuff. And I just started getting really disgusted.
But also how he played the Black community against each other.
Oh, gosh.
Like, how he played the older generation against the younger generation. Because you better believe, like, Step in the Name of Love was two old Black people.
Mm-hmm.
100%. That mm-hmm. was his way of being like, y'all, I could sing to y'all and y'all will like me and mm-hmm. y'all will buy my shit just like these young people who are buying mm-hmm. the remix to Ignition.
Yeah.
And so I think there, to me, there's something deeper and far more sinister about within my community, there is a serious devaluing of Black girls and Black women that has to shift. If yeah. we expect the rest of the world to right. value us, that can't happen if we aren't doing that ourselves.
Girl, you said it spot on. If you guys don't start with yourselves mm-hmm. in music, in literature, in movies, in television, in everything, I mean, there's a bunch of... I was thinking about the two. Like, there's a bunch of rappers and women artists that talk about bitches and hoes, even in their own music.
Well, hip-hop is, like, hip-hop and R&B is definitely a problematic phase.
It is, right?
It's hard.
It's tricky, too, you know? Because...
I love me some Kendrick Lamar. His lyrics are not female-forward.
Yeah.
But, God, do I love him as a rapper.
Right? So, then...
I think also we have to acknowledge the double standard of sexuality between men and women in our society.
Yeah.
Men are encouraged to be sexually explorative and active.
Yeah.
Women are taught and encouraged to withhold sex
until and be pure.
Until that special one yeah. comes along.
Yeah.
Which I think is total bullshit.
It is. It is fucking bullshit. At least now. In this episode.
What can another call to action be?
If you are fucking parents,
I think I have one written down actually.
If you have a child or a daughter or a son, mm-hmm. you start them young. You say this is not how you treat girls. You say this is how you think and feel. This is how you should be around older men. If you're feeling yeah. like an older man is looking at you a certain way, do you know what I mean? Like, activate that. What are they called? The fight or flight response? Mm-hmm. Or
adrenaline? Like, your adrenaline?
Yeah, your ability to just decipher whether a situation is getting kind of weird.
Yeah.
Or this is normal. Mm-hmm. Like, empower your daughters to learn that at a young age.
Yeah, for sure.
Because then shit like that happens.
I remember what my call to action was. I think the message of some women just don't matter is not just a message that is only applicable to Black women.
Yeah. Well, it's all women.
All women. It can be applicable to fat women.
Yeah.
Trans women. Yeah. Differently abled women. Fat women. Asian women. Hispanic women. Like, no, but seriously.
No, you're absolutely right. I just like that that's the first one that came out of your mouth.
Because fat shaming seems like it's the only acceptable form of prejudice nowadays. That's why I hit up on that one.
I see.
Where it's like, Black women don't matter. Do fat women? Like, our society does not necessarily value and view them as gorgeous sexual beings.
Right, right.
Even though they are. Yeah. And even though they have total capacity to be that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it's important that when these messages are being sold to us, of these kinds of women just don't matter, I think it's really important that we hit up on when that's happening and we do our best to reverse that.
Right, right. I agree. Like you said something about how if the world isn't going to start anytime soon, who knows, you know, we don't know, or hopefully, but that it starts with you guys in the Black community. But I think if we want to take that a step further, which is what I was touching upon, how it's not about being Black, mm-mm. but it's about you as an individual, and really, if you can't either rely on the society or your friends or even your parents to mm-hmm. protect you at this point, you have to be able to really cultivate it on your own
yeah.
and have the belief that you matter.
Totally.
And no matter what happens, there are just certain things that you're not okay with, no matter what that opportunity may be.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's so many women that have been through that and have faced it and have learned it the hard way, mm-hmm. but really it's not worth it.
No. I think I also hit up on fat women because Dietland just got canceled, and I'm very sad about that.
I don't know anything about Dietland.
Conversation for another.
I'm sorry.
For off mic. It's okay. I think I hit up on that call to action because a friend of mine who I often see at my local coffee shop recently was like, oh, hello, Miss Feminist. Your imitation of women in front of you who rattle off coffee orders is not very female forward, and I think you should change that. And she's absolutely right.
You mean like the way that you are with...
So I have a very simple coffee order. Double espresso to go. No cream, no sugar, no foolishness. And so because my coffee order from the minute I order it to the minute I get it literally takes 2 minutes, I have a hard time with people who are in front of me in line at Starbucks or other places being like, can I get a half calf, half decaf, soy, no foam, extra hot latte with 2 Splenda and 2 pumps? Like, those people drive me nuts. And my friend recently was like, hi, You realize that when you imitate girls like that, you're assigning a gender. A, you're making them female. That's not very female focused. Yeah. They sound dumb and they sound white.
I see.
So you're basically assigning, like, no, and she's right. And she's 100% right. I totally gendered these people because I never see a man do that.
Yeah.
I never see a woman of color do that. And that person doesn't sound very smart. And she totally called me out, and it's right. And you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore.
Right. Yeah, I think that I was thinking about that recently too, where it's like, where can we start to also change that about us?
Right.
Because I know I do it a lot as a joke, but I also tend to stereotype myself and talk about, oh yeah, it's because I'm Asian and I'm good at math. And like, even those small things start to really just sort of like, whoa. Like, if you really are serious about this, or if you really want to stop, then I should stop saying this stuff.
For sure. Definitely.
You know, and really come from a place of respect and responsibility. And if that thought, I can't not help it, because I've lived almost 30 years on this planet being that way already.
Yeah.
But then I don't have to necessarily even say it. I can think it, totally. Or I can say it with the people I feel safest.
You know?
So it's just, yeah, it's I've definitely had a couple moments people being like I've thrown the joke out a couple of times, but like, oh, you're being racist, like kind of like a joke, because, you know, I've done that with my other people and my friends, and I've, like, some white people have been like really like
uncomfortable.
And like, well, no, I was just whatever. And I realized, like, oh damn, I probably shouldn't do that. So.
And it's work. It takes work to undo those habits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No one's perfect. We're still growing, still evolving.
Yeah.
If you're a woman listening to the show and you rattle off your coffee order like that at Starbucks or wherever, and we cross paths in the world, and you see me, and I'm giving you the tight lip and the side eye because I'm trying to get my espresso that takes 30 seconds to make, and your coffee takes like 3 minutes. Girl, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You do you. Enjoy that coffee. Just because I have a militant coffee order doesn't mean that I'm any smarter or not as smart as you.
Right. I think that's what it is. I mean, we always sort of close these episodes with our call to action being in the way of how it starts with you.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with me.
How
can you start being in a way that is going to change this and change it for you really first? Because if it doesn't start with you, it doesn't go anywhere else.
For sure.
Truly.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, that's a world we're living in.
Okay, but let's like end it on a happy note.
Oh, okay,
anyone that anyone like, celebrating Chinese New Year's.
Oh, hey,
it's coming
up.
Hey,
woo! Chinese New
happy
Year,
Chinese
Gong
Xi Fa
Cai, ding 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 ding. You're the pig. All the pigs out there, put your hands up.
That's how I like to end an episode, on a high note.
We're gonna have our Chinese New Year episode airing after Chinese New Year. Sorry about that, guys.
Sorry, guys.
Not sorry. But we hope you enjoyed this one. Watch out for our Chinese New Year episode coming out shortly, too. Have a wonderful week and weekend. Happy Chinese New Year.
Yeah, we got some fun stuff coming up for you guys in 2019. So
stay tuned.
This little show of ours is evolving, and it's all very exciting.
The window, baby.
This episode was produced at Christian Humes over at Zeitheist. We are the Black and Yellow Podcast. If you would like to find us on the gram, the Instagram, that is, find us at Black and Yellow Podcast, or you can find us separately. I am Alana Webster, at Renegade of Fun is my handle.
I'm Jacqueline Chung Young on the gram. Nothing fancy, just my name.
Feel free to rate and review us on Apple Podcast.
Let us know what you think, comments.
Yeah, the rates and reviews help us to monetize this little baby so we can keep bringing you more, better, greater, awesome episodes in the future.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Love you guys.
Stay woke.
Bye. Keep that mouth bougie.